The Youth's Instructor, July 15, 1897, Soldiers for Christ, Part 2. The struggle against sin is to go on day by day and hour by hour. Our hearts must be educated to become steadfast in God. We are to form habits of thought that will enable us to resist temptation. We must learn to look upward. God has provided the means whereby we may come off more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. He says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." As you engage in this warfare, dear youth, every step you take heavenward, every effort you put forth to exalt the Savior on the earth and lift Him up before men as the chiefest among 10,000 will be opposed by evil men and angels. For no member of the human family can serve God and seek to advance His work in the earth without drawing upon him the hatred and opposition of the powers of darkness. Evil men are stirred with anger by the example of Christ's followers because it reproves their own course of wrongdoing, and they become Satan's agents to work in every way to turn the obedient from the path of righteousness. But while we trust in God, these powers cannot harm us. We have His promise, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Is it not enough that God has promised to give His people strength sufficient for the trials and difficulties which they may have to encounter? Under the influence of the grace of Christ, we may be witnesses for Him, reflecting the light of heaven amid the surrounding darkness. Could the veil be lifted, we would see that angels of God are around us to preserve us from unseen dangers. Thousands of times has their care been especially manifested for us in our warfare with the agencies of Satan. Then let us not forget the mercies of God, but let us preserve them as precious jewels. When the powers of darkness surround us and whisper doubts as to God's love and care for us, let us take confidence from the light that has been permitted to shine upon us in our life experience. It is Satan's design that we shall lose sight of the great sacrifice that has been made in our behalf, of the love that has been bestowed upon us. The cross of Calvary alone can measure the love which God has for every member of the human family. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We must never allow ourselves to doubt the love of Jesus, He who for our sake bore the contradiction of sinners against Himself. He was buffeted with temptations, convulsed with agony, lacerated with stripes, pierced by nails, crowned with thorns. And He consented to all this humiliation and suffering that He might gain for us the victory over Satan. He exposed Himself to abuse and insult for our sake. Every arrow with which Satan pierced Him, every pang of anguish that He endured, was in our behalf. His life was one dark series of afflictions, which weakened at every step Satan's hold upon humanity. Thus he paid the debt which man owed to God, and brought us out of the bondage of Satan into the marvelous light of the gospel. Jesus died, dear youth, not to save you in your sins, but from your sins. He wants you to follow the example which he has set before you, to deny self, take up your cross daily, and follow him. He claims your service, your heart's best and holiest affections. If you will walk in obedience to his will, learning cheerfully and diligently the lessons of his providence, by and by he will say, "Child, come up higher to the heavenly mansions which I have prepared for you."